Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Thank you for joining us today on the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Nicole.
And today we're joined by Jenny Sheep. Jenny is an uncompromising business coach who works with smart entrepreneurs who are fiercely committed to their own success. Step by step, she shows clients how to create a successful online business without having to work long hours or make huge sacrifices. She believes with the right systems and strategies, it's possible to make money doing work you love, one that supports a life you love. I absolutely love your success without sacrifice. It is something that I truly, truly believe in. And I'm so excited to have you here. As I've shared, I'm fangirling it up. So thank you for joining us today, Jenny.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun to talk about business and especially success without sacrifice.
I think that's a huge thing that a lot of beginning entrepreneurs think that they have to sacrifice things in the beginning. So I love that that's one of the underlying cores. But to get things started, we always like to hear about your kickstart moment. What got you started is being an entrepreneur.
Well, when I was just before my 29th birthday, I was working a corporate job, a fairly good job as far as corporate jobs go. And I realized like, oh, in a year, I'm going to be 30. And, you know, little milestones like that always get us thinking. And the next line of thinking in my mind after I was 30 was, if I don't do something, I'm going to retire at 65 from this company and wonder, what did I do with my life? And thinking about that just wasn't acceptable to me. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I kept thinking one day I would just know. But after not knowing for so long, I realized I've got to figure out what that is. So although I didn't just jump into and start a business, that was the initial thought seed that got me moving in the direction of eventually starting my own business.
Awesome. So once you had that seed planted and started your own business, what brought you to being a coach?
Well, I knew I wanted to do something different, something that felt really meaningful. So being an engineer at a high-tech company making office supply products wasn't my calling. And I wanted to do something that felt more meaningful. And I hired a career coach and I did some therapy and a whole bunch of other things. And I first thought, I'm going to be a therapist. That's what I want to do. I remember thinking about I didn't know the word therapist, I think when I was like six, but I remember somehow I knew the word social worker and I wanted to be a social worker, but therapists felt more right. So I started interviewing therapists about their job. And one woman said to me, she said, Jenny, you could do it, but I just think you are the kind of person who would be better as a life coach because you like to take people who are already high functioning and help them excel. And that's not where you start out when you're a brand new therapist. And I thought, life coach, I'm not going to do that. And I started asking around and talking to people about being a life coach. And I read some books and I got coached and I thought, this is totally what I want to do. And then I took a life coach training and I started out as a life coach and I actually helped people quit their unhappy corporate jobs to do something else. And I realized actually that wasn't for me either. And so I closed my life coaching business and I realized that I like to help people with project management and planning and back-end systems. And so I started out then as a VA and a project manager, which obviously I've come far since then, but those are the next couple steps that brought me to where I am today.
It's so cool to hear that because I think a lot of us starting out feel like we have to know exactly what it is we want to do right from the get-go. And when those moments come where it's not quite right, we really push back on the change and try to stop it from happening. And I think that that's where a lot of people need to hear, no, go with it, see where it leads you, because it's probably something bigger and better and more awesome.
Yeah.
And I know I've done enough changes. I think we've all heard about mine. So I love hearing, you know, from someone like you, who is way better known than I am, that you've also done that. And that it, even though you've made those changes, it sounds like they all still play a role in what you're doing right now.
there is no way I could have gone from my job to what I do now. Like, I had to become a life coach. I had to work with people on their careers. I had to start an online business. I had to go to networking events. I had to work as a virtual assistant and then a project manager and then help people implement systems in their business and then coach them on making their ideas happen and then build my own process for teaching people how to market and work with a ton of one-on-one clients. And every one of those steps had to happen to get here. You're so right. Like, we can't start right at that very beginning and jump to the end. We have to go through all the things. I was just telling a client yesterday, she's like, I'm so afraid that I'm not going to get my niche right this time, because last time I worked with a coach, it turned out it wasn't the right niche for me. And I was like, you got to let go of the fear of making the wrong decision, because you can't know where it's going to lead you. But if you trust yourself right now with the information in front of you right now and work on, take your next steps based on that, you can't go wrong. I don't know where you're going to go, but this is the only information you have. And that's all you can act on right now. You've got to.
Yeah. Because the big picture is always going to change. Like, even though we have a goal in mind, when we get to that goal, it could look completely different from when we started. We just have to be comfortable with the process of going through the motions to get to where we want to be. So I love that about your journey. What are some things that inspire you on a daily basis now that you're in your current business and get to do all of the things that have led up to, you know, what you're doing now?
You know, I was just talking with a friend yesterday about people who are intrinsically motivated and extrinsically motivated. So people who just find motivation within in themselves versus people who are motivated by external factors. And not that there is one that is right or wrong. They are just different ways of being. And I was thinking about this question, and in the same way I was thinking about motivation, and I'm kind of one of those people who's very intrinsically motivated and also intrinsically inspired. So what sort of gets me going isn't the idea of meeting Oprah one day, isn't the idea of being famous or even having New York Times bestselling book. Who knows? You know, I don't know where my life is going to take me, but really just wanting to show up every day and do my job for the people who've committed to work with me or the people who even just read my blog. So me doing it because this is what I need to do for me, for my life, but really also just showing up for everybody else in the world who says, Jenny, I want to hear from you, or I've decided to work with you, or whatever it is, you know, that they're going to do.
Yeah, it sounds like because this is where you know you're meant to be right now, that that's what's going to motivate and inspire you on a daily basis. Regardless of the outside world, regardless of outside factors, as long as you know that you're going to be that best possible version of yourself every day by showing up, that's what's going to keep you going.
Yes. And so that's what does it for me. I wish I had some like, oh, every day I look at the stars and, you know, but I don't. I'm just not that kind of girl.
No, and we've talked about it on previous episodes too, some that have launched, some that haven't launched yet. But your version of success and your version of inspiration doesn't have to be those big, high achieving things that people strive for. They really have to come from a place of internal, you know, motivation and passion. Because if you're really not motivated around a certain thing, everyone can aspire to be like Oprah, but if you don't have that drive in you, it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I think we all find our drive in different places. I'm great friends with Kendrick Shope, as we were saying before we started recording, and she was inspired to by her daughter, because she says every day I would put my daughter to bed and tell her, sweetheart, you can believe in whatever it is you want. You can be whoever you want to be. And when she realized that she wasn't living what she was teaching her daughter, that was what motivated her. And so we all find whatever's going to drive us, but we've got to find something to drive us.
You know, we've had people answer that question, both with the external and the internal motivators. And I find it inspiring to hear the ones that are internal, the people who look within. I think it shows such strength, because a lot of the time, when we don't know what we're doing, we're looking to the outside to show us and lead us. And I feel like it's a certain point in your life too, that you start to look inside more than you look outside. And as you said, neither one better than the other.
Right.
But I feel like for me, it's been as I've grown and as I've gained more confidence in myself or more belief in myself, I start to turn things more internally for the inspiration and the motivation than I did before I reached that point in my life.
Yeah.
And I love hearing the ones where everybody tells us about their internal inspiration and motivation, because it's an external inspiration for me. That's good. So for all of us, and I'm sure this is true for even those that we think don't have this, but for all of us, we all end up at some point with, you know, our negative thoughts, whether they're internal or somebody outside has said something, you know, they didn't like something that we did. How do you deal with those moments to keep yourself positive and moving forward and not allow yourself to fall into that negativity?
Yeah. Well, I first, and I know you both know this, but I've got to really set the record straight for anybody who doesn't know this, that that stuff never goes away. So no matter how successful you are or how much is going well, there's always people who will say hurtful things and moments where we doubt ourselves. And what hurts and what causes doubt changes over time, but the fact that they're there never goes away. And so it's really important to just first acknowledge that those are so normal. You know, people say, oh, once I stop being afraid of putting myself out there, I'll do it. And I'm like, you're not going to get afraid of putting yourself out there until you do it. But once you do it, then you won't be afraid of it anymore, but you're going to be afraid of something else. So for me, I think it just goes back to a little bit of practicalness and, you know, just that internal drive that I have just sort of wired into who I am. But in our household, and it has been this way since before I quit my job, I pay most of our household bills. So the financial responsibility of all of that is on my shoulders. And so from a practical standpoint, I can't let that stuff stop me unless I'm interested in moving in with my in-laws, which it really is not something that I'm interested in doing. Like, that's always an alternative. They're very lovely people, but that's not what I want. So in order to just, you know, when these things come up, it's like, yeah, it's okay. I've got friends I can call. I can go and I can vent and I can journal and I have tools. But I also am just motivated by the fact that I want to keep moving and I want to keep serving my clients and I have bills to pay. It just sort of comes down to practical nuts and bolts sometimes.
Oh, yes. I think the practicality of it is important to remember. I love hearing that you, with some of the tools, like the friends, the venting, the journaling. I think that getting things out is also one that we forget sometimes, especially being solopreneurs. Mm-hmm. We're all by ourselves, so we keep it all to ourselves, but we need the outside world to help us through some things at times. So yes, but I love the practicality. We got bills to pay, so just move your butt, because I have a little bit of that in me too. There are times when, you know, somebody's complaining and I'm like, just suck it up. I love you, but there's a point where you just gotta suck it up.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's always, yeah, and it's always better out than in when it comes to like negativity and self-doubt and even the external stuff that happens. Because if you keep it inside, I had a really great mentor as I went through my coaching program, and she even said, she goes, when you start keeping things inside and you don't get them up and out, it is actually dis-ease. Mm-hmm. And then that could cause disease or whatnot. Yeah. So it's one of those things that if you don't even realize sometimes you're internalizing it until you actually vocalize it and like put it down on paper and see it, and then it disempowers it. And then it's gone and you can move forward and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I think that's great. You do. You have to, sometimes we can't resolve it immediately, but if it's going to stay there, it's going to fester. And so finding some way to deal with stuff, because stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Stuff comes up. Yeah.
Yeah. And stuff's going to keep happening too. Like you said, your fears will change, but they'll never go away over time. You conquer one and another one's going to come up and take its place.
Yes.
Maybe more than one sometimes. It just depends on the situations. But it's great to see that like the way that you deal with it and the way that you move forward really just comes from a place of you have to get stuff done, but you're also so much ingrained in what you do that stopping yourself to actually like sit in that negative self-talk isn't going to do you any good. Like, there's no, I mean, it's going to happen, but you just got to push forward.
Yeah.
So I would love to know, because you are so really in tune with who you are and how you show up in your business, what are some of the values that you bring not only into your business, but into your life?
I would say in my business, when it comes to showing up as a business person, my number one value that I bring to my business is integrity It's really important to me to be very true and specific to my word. I think in this online marketing world, there is a lot of people who operate in what I call the gray zone. And that makes me personally very uncomfortable. And so as I look at my business and promote my business and talk about what I do, being very true to my promises to my clients, what I can and can't promise. And I think in some cases, this actually loses me a little bit of business because I won't go into the gray zone. I won't follow some of those rules that other marketers are willing to do to make another buck. And so integrity in my business is a cornerstone. But in terms of my business and my life, freedom is my number one value. So creating a business that allows me the flexibility to do what I want. Now, I like, and I know you ladies get this, I think a lot of people think freedom means I can just do whatever I want, whenever I want, free of obligation. And that isn't how I look at it because practically speaking, I don't have a trust fund and I don't have a rich husband and I don't have parents who take care of me. They took care of me when I was a child, but now I'm a grown adult and it's my responsibility to, you know, be an adult in the world. And that comes with a responsibility, and running a business comes with meetings and appointments and all of those things. And so freedom for me is, okay, yeah, I have these obligations, but in general, being in business allows me a lot of flexibility. I get to decide when I have those meetings or where I meet or what I wear when I'm in those meetings. It allows me lots of choice and spaciousness in my life, which for me, that is my number one freedom.
Yeah, and it makes sense too that your version of freedom also deals a little bit and brings in that integrity aspect too, because you're not just saying it's the freedom of I'm going to do what I want when I want without realizing what the bottom line is.
Exactly.
Knowing that there needs to be a bottom line there and you're going to get it done in the way that's most authentic for you and really not going to cheat anyone out of, you know, a session or a buck or whatever. And I personally have to say, I love that philosophy. Before I did small business coaching, I was in marketing for 10 years and I saw the entire world of online marketing take shape in that time. And you are right. There are a lot of marketers out there who go into that gray space. And the reason that I moved my old jobs more into the inbound realm of like really hearing the customer and giving the customer value as opposed to just yelling at them is because I never was one where if I had to be a salesy marketer, I would have failed right off the bat. Like, I can't sell for my life.
Right.
I love that those are your two top values. Where do you actually turn to when it comes to like staying on the path of being true to yourself in your business and really, you know, it could be like coaches or people or whatnot to make sure that like you are really being that authentic person that you want to be?
I think there's a couple parts to that. One is sort of like the fear, the whole thing about fear is always present. I think there's always going to be part of us that is on track and always part of us that's off track, because sort of how we know when we're on track is sort of by those moments that we get off track. And what I mean is, you know, when I started JennyShe.com and I was on track, no, then I was like, okay, I'm doing virtual assistants and project management and I'm going to coach people to make their ideas happen. And I think this might be right, but I don't know. And so I would do it with the sense of like, okay, if I do this, that will help me feel whether or not I'm still on track. Okay, this is hot. This feels really good. What about if I add this other component of helping people? Let's see, I started actually managing really high level projects. Let me try that. And I did it and I don't like this. So I had to go off track to get back on track, because sometimes the only way to know what the next step is to take a really good guess and try and see what happens. So a lot of times I will explain this to my clients and they'll get a little frustrated because I want to know the right answer. Well, the way to find the right answer is to move forward and see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen until you do it, but I promise you that when you do it, you'll get more information. And so part of me always staying on track is really allowing myself to divert and go off track to feel what more on track will be. And then just knowing, just feeling within myself, does this feel right or not feel right? And sometimes our brains don't understand, like it'll feel right, but it won't make sense. But sort of learning to trust those feelings and that body instinct, even when the brain can't make sense. So I'm sorry, that's like a really esoteric answer.
No, it's fine. Cause like really it's like listening to that gut punch of whether or not it's going to actually feel good for you. Cause a lot of the times, and especially in corporate America, they don't really listen to that gut punch. They actually mask it and listen with their head more so than anything else. And yes. That's when things I don't want to say go wrong, but that's when things actually don't manifest in the way that people actually expect them to. And then that's where like conflict and confrontation and anger and all that stuff happens. So the way that you're describing it is basically just really leaning into that gut punch, even if it's not making sense right now, knowing it'll eventually make sense.
Yeah.
I like to call it being uncomfortable with the uncomfortability.
Yeah.
If you actually are uncomfortable and then you get comfortable, then you're on track. If you are uncomfortable and it never feels comfortable to you, just come right on back.
Yeah. It's a great way to look at it. It's so true. And the only way you're going to know is to keep taking action. That's why I keep telling my clients, you just got to keep moving. Because if you stay here, you cannot resolve that clarity by standing still and thinking about it. The only way to resolve it is to move forward and try something. And being okay with not knowing how it's going to turn out, and then being okay with however it does turn out, positive or negative, it's information that's going to help you move forward better than any other. No, it's the only way you can move forward.
I have to say that I feel like this also comes from a place where a lot of us entrepreneurs are trying to be right now. And I know it's a little bit jargony, but being more heart-centered versus head-centered. I mean, our head has to work with it, but we got to follow those feelings. And I think that those come more from being heart-centered and being true to ourselves and what we want and what feels right to us. And I feel like it also ties into, I know in your values, you said integrity and freedom. I feel, at least from following you, that authenticity is a big one too, that you bring to the table, whether or not it's something you want to, I assume it is. And I know that's a jargon word, but you show up so real and so you, I love it. And it's one of the main reasons I wanted to bring you on here. You did a post shortly before we reached out to you about not following everybody else in the path of you have to do this, this, and this, and this in your business to make it. And it was about like the social media and all the, you have to be here and here and here doing this. And you may not have the numbers that some people have, but you know, you're still making the numbers that count. And I loved that because I feel like that's one of the things that I've always tried to share with people is you don't have to do it the same way everybody else does it. And that's the whole point of this podcast. Do it your way. Like just because it worked for somebody else doesn't mean it has to work for you. And I think that's a big part of showing up in that authentic, real and following those gut feelings is knowing what works for you. And the only way to know what works for you is that trial and error that we're all so afraid to step out and do because of the error side of it. Like we're okay to try things, but we want them to work. And we have to be okay with the fact of sometimes they're not going to, and we're not going to know unless we try. So if you were to give advice to a new entrepreneur starting out, what would it be?
I whenever people pigeonhole me into a question, what one thing would you say? I'm like, I've got to tell you too.
Doesn't have to be one.
I would say you have to work on your mindset. Like, and the second one is you just have to move. Like, but don't just move. Like, don't just be like crazy squirrel. You have to like make a plan or get a plan or have somebody give you a plan or somehow know what you're going to do and do it. So a lot of people like to think about the things they're going to do, or they like to scope out what everybody else is up to, but you've got to take real action and you've got to deal with your head. Somebody once asked me, which comes first, strategy or action, or strategy or mindset? And my answer was yes. Like you can't do just one. Like you can't be successful with one without the other. So strategy and action. strategy and mindset.
That's like which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Exactly. Yeah. And how one without the other. And I love that your answer incorporates both, you know, making sure that as you're moving forward, you're dealing with those fears, but also taking action on them. That's really what it's about. If you're staying stagnant, you're never going to create that version of success that you want. You're never going to actually get to that goal, even if that goal eventually changes, because you're not doing anything. You're just looking at everyone else and what they're doing. But once you actually learn who you are and what you want, the outside influencers really don't actually need to be there to guide you anymore. They can just be there to give you inspiration and show you the opportunities that you yourself can create. So I would actually really like to know, who have been some of your biggest influencers?
Well, golly. I think everybody, there's so many people that sort of influenced my journey, but I wouldn't say there's one standout. It's sort of like, you know, that therapist I interviewed who said, I actually think you should be a life coach. Like, what a pivotal moment. I look back and I am so glad I didn't go to night school to become a therapist. Like, thank you. Her name was Linda. Thank you, Linda. Like, thank you. That was amazing. You know, and then the first life coach I interviewed about being a life coach, her name was Susan, and she introduced me to Byron Katie's work. And so Susan was then like that next person on the journey. And then Byron Katie and I went to her school for the work, and then Martha Beck Life Coaching, and then the coaches I worked with, so many coaches. I worked with so many coaches, so much mindset. There was a lot of mindset before there was actual results. And so along the way, there's just been so many little people, not little people, but people that had just their little moment where something spoke to me exactly how I needed to hear to get it, get me where I am today. I wouldn't say there's any one big, but that I'm sort of a culmination of dozens and dozens of people that touched my path along the way. I mean, I can certainly spell them all out for you. We can trace the, how many years have I been in business now? 7, 8, but that's all right.
Your influencers really speak to the heart of knowing where you wanted to be and how they actually helped you get there. I like to say there really aren't any more coincidences. It really is right time, right moment for things to actually show up in our lives. And it just seems like the people that were pivotal for you to get to where you are today really were there at the right time to give you either that one little tidbit of information or stay with you for whatever season it was, just because they needed to be there for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay. I love that. So before we get to our phone closing question, I actually would like to know, how has being different actually helped you be the version of success that you wanted?
Okay, this is such a funny question, because not because your question is funny, but because I'm funny. I mean, I don't mean funny weird. I mean funny weird, not funny haha. So the reason I laugh is because I actually don't consider myself really different. You know, I think there are people out there who are just the rebels by nature. And I was one of those very conforming, how small can I make myself? How quiet can I be? How hidden can I be kind of people? And I actually kind of am like that in my life. I'm one of the people who goes to the grocery store and like I say this little like prayer, I guess is the word, but I don't consider it a prayer, but it's like, may this be an anonymous shopping trip. Like that's my little mantra I say as I pull into the parking lot, which basically means I don't want to run into anybody I know. Like I don't want to stand out. I don't want to make a splash. I don't want to be different. So as much as I try and think that I'm not different, I also know you have to sort of be a little bit you know, authentically you to be able to make your business work. That's just how it works. These heart-centered businesses, they work when we're ourselves. So you asked about how being, sorry, I got myself off track. You asked about how being different sort of helps me. And so I just say it's more like I just keep showing up as me. And there are people who are not going to like it, and there are people who are going to like it. And I've been told by some people that I don't have an extreme enough personality to be wildly successful. But at the same time, for me to have an extreme personality, I would have to not be myself. And so this is what you got. Like, take it or leave it. You like me or you don't. It's totally fine. There are plenty of people out in the world that I don't like. You know, it's all good. So I'm just going to show up and I'm going to give what I have to give and I'm going to be who I am. And that's it. And I think that really is what I try to instill with a lot of my clients and what comes down to a business. We start these businesses to do work we care about, to be more ourselves, to create lives we want. So let's just be us. Like, we don't have to try to be different. We just get to be us. So that's my, I'm really good at the non-specific answers for you all. I hope that's all right.
I think that was perfect because in my opinion, the sheer fact that you don't want to be that standout person, you don't want, like, you want to go to the grocery store and not run into anybody. falls into being way different than a lot of the people that we see out there. Because I mean, like Marie Forleo, who's a little crazy and stands out, as awesome as she is, she's not you. And I think that a lot of times we get stuck in the, I need to be more like Marie Forleo or Oprah, or, you know, some people might say Kim Luna, who's really extreme, but those people aren't us. And if we're not us, then we won't succeed. And it's way better just to be true to yourself. So I think that not having that standout personality and being the person who kind of wants to blend in makes you very different than some of the other coaches or strategists or people out there that we might run into.
Well, and I love that you say that, because I kind of feel like I'm starting to own the fact It's a funny thing, but I'm starting to own the fact that I stand for women who just want to run good businesses and have good lives. Like, I don't stand for the woman who wants to, you know, dye her hair purple and be a multimillionaire who wants to be on Oprah. Like, those people do come through me also. But what I stand for is, like, just live your life. Like, however that is, it doesn't have to be fancy and shiny and glamorous, and you don't have to, like, conform to all these other things that we're splashed at all the time. I just want you to like what you do and have it support your life and be yourself and, like, but genuinely, like, those aren't like, you know, there's a lot of people who throw those phrases around, but I truly, you don't have to be anybody other than you to create this simple little life for yourself. I mean, that's how I look at my life. It's just, I just have a simple little life. That's what I want. And for those people who want it, I want that for them too. And if you want to be on Oprah, great. Like, do that. I want you to want what you want, whatever that happens to be.
I think that's perfect. And sorry, I want to, like, reach through and, like, give you a great big hug. I was like, yes, it's yours. But to wrap things up, we always like to ask a fun question. And so before, we worked out this question with you, and that is, what was the first job you ever had as a kid?
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, most young girls are babysitters, but I don't count that one. So I remember, I don't know where I got this little bug in me, but I wanted to make some money, but I was still too young to get, like, a real job. I did start working when I was 14, but before that, you know, I was too young to work. My friend and I, my mom used to sew. She still knows how to sew, and she taught me to sew. And do you remember those hair ties that they're like the cloth hair ties, like,
yeah, scrunchies.
So my mom taught me and my friend Kate how to make them, and we made a whole box of them, and we walked around my neighborhood and we sold them. So we had this little box, this wooden box, and we would go to people's doors. And I lived in the kind of neighborhood where people knew me. I mean, all the families knew each other and all that stuff. And so we would go and, like, we're selling scrunchies. The small ones are $1. The big ones are $2. And so, like, they would sift through, and who's going to, like, turn down a little, I don't know how old it was, like, 9-year-old girl selling scrunchies. So that's what we did. For a whole summer, we just sold a slew of scrunchies. It was so fun. I forgot about that until just, like, a year ago. I can't remember where it came out. Oh, Denise Duffield Thomas posts, like, something on, she posted a picture of a scrunchie on Facebook and says, I guess these are back in style. And I thought, oh, scrunchies. I remembered my business of selling scrunchies. So that was my first, that wasn't really a job, but it was my first business.
It totally was a job.
It takes time to make those things.
Yeah. We got good. We had, like, a system down.
What was your favorite, like, pattern that, like, if you can remember from making those? Cause I remember, like, there was, like, plain ones, but then there were, like, graphic ones and ones that had glitter in and some that had feathers.
Okay, so this is such a Jenny She answer. I didn't give a whatever what the pattern was. I wanted to be efficient and make a lot so we could go out and sell them.
I have this pattern. It's a scrunchie.
Right, exactly. I didn't care what they looked like. I just liked that we had, like, a system down pat and could churn them out real fast. That was what I was excited about.
Oh, man. And now looking back, that makes so much sense for what you're doing now.
Exactly. We are who we are, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jenny. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. For those of you listening, you can go to beautifullyboldpodcast.com to check out the show notes and links to Jenny. And you can join us over at the Beautifully Bold in Business Facebook group to continue the conversation. Thanks so much for joining us, Jenny.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was so fun. I could talk about business for hours.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.